Here's John. I drew him to faith 30 years ago. His feet almost slipped many times, but I held him by his right hand, and that's why he's here today. Imagine Jesus saying that of you.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Really an encouraging message today, Colin. As we've been taking a look at the story of Asaph, as we find it in Psalm 73, Christian leader who is discouraged in his faith, so much so that he just about, as he says, lets go of his faith. His feet almost slipped. But we're going to end with a word of encouragement today.
Yeah, I think the whole psalm is a wonderful encouragement for me to know that one of the greatest godly leaders in the Old Testament went through an experience where he said, "My feet almost slipped." Well, that really helps me to know that. As Christian believers, there are times where we think, but for the grace of God, I would have been gone. But for the grace of God. And that's the whole point of the story. God doesn't let his children go. And he held on to Asaph and got him established, brought him through. And friend, if you are in a place of feeling that you're ready to give up, I want to say to you, Christ will bring you through and you can put your trust in him. So the prayer for this series, Steve, is that there will be encouragement to press on with Jesus Christ.
Well, let's get into today's message as we do end with this word of encouragement. We're in Psalm 73 and the final part of our message, commit. Here's Pastor Colin.
Let me tell you the story of a man I know very well. I'm going to call him Joe. Joe was a pastor for some years. It wasn't easy. Joe and his wife endured great difficulties over many years. They scraped by in ministry on a desperately low income. They did what they did in a small church for the sake of Christ. After some years, the pressures of the pastorate began to affect Joe's health. And so he left the ministry. He was desperately discouraged, broken. Joe and his wife started attending a church in London. Sometime later, I heard they had stopped going. A short time after that, Joe's wife died. I took the funeral. It was sometime after that that he told me why he gave up. It has left a deep and a lasting impression on all my thinking. It was the same every Sunday, Colin, he said. We just got slammed about making a commitment. And I was desperate. I didn't have any strength. And I was just looking for hope. Now, Asaph's story tells us what Joel and thousands of others need to grasp in the middle of an Asaph experience. And it's this: God will sustain you when your strength is gone. When your feet are sliding, he will hold you by your right hand. He will guide you with his counsel, and afterwards, he will bring you to glory. And if you have been wounded by a version of Christianity that makes the gospel seem like an endless list of demands and impossible expectations, you need to take in the grace of God from this psalm. The gospel is not an endless exhortation to what you should be, what you must be, what you ought to do, and all the rest of it. The gospel is about the grace of God, right? And it's not your commitment that will lead to God's grace. It is God's grace that will lead to your commitment. All the difference in the world. Now, I want to suggest three ways in which we might use this psalm as we come to a conclusion this morning. The first is simply a very practical idea that I hope might be useful, and that is that you may find at times when you go through an Asaph experience that it is useful for you to write your story as Asaph wrote his story here. Obviously, this whole psalm is this man writing out his story under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, and it has been preserved for our encouragement in the Scriptures. So you may find, as I found at different points in my life, to write out the experience in which the Lord is meeting you and the turn through which he's bringing you will help to clarify how he is at work in your life. The second thing is simply learn, and here we focus in more closely on the words that Asaph uses here. Notice what Asaph learned from these last verses. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. Now, if you look back to the beginning of the psalm and compare verse 1 with verse 25, you will see how far Asaph has come. Remember, we saw at the beginning that verse 1 was a kind of creedal statement, a sort of statement of faith that would regularly be repeated in worship. God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. You see, it almost said the sort of thing you're brought up with and that every good believer believes, you know, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. This is what Asaph had always believed, but it seems from his testimony that he did not have a very clear idea of what it actually meant. What does it mean to say that God is good to Israel? Now, the ancient philosophers, Plato and Socrates and all these guys, they used to debate what is the highest good in life. To use a phrase from today, what is as good as it gets? And they had a phrase in Latin that they used to use, and it's still sometimes used today. They used to talk about the sunum bonum, which, you know, for the kids in grade school, you can say, I was in church on Sunday and I learned about the sunum bonum. You see, and it'll impress your teacher, but don't get proud about it, you know? The sunum bonum, the highest good. What is as good as it gets? Now, you see, the point of this psalm is that Asaph is saying, you know, I looked at other people who were not living a godly life, and frankly, I thought they'd got it. I was thinking that the highest good is health and wealth and fulfilling your personal dream. Now I realize he's saying that I was completely mistaken. I'll tell you what the sunum bonum is. As for me, it is good to be near God. God opened my eyes to this in the sanctuary when I saw the ultimate outcome of the wicked. Those who are far from you will perish. I see it now. The reason that God is good to Israel is that he's brought Israel near to God. I see now that even if everything in my life was as I wanted it to be, and I was far from God, I would be in a desperate position. And even if nothing in my life were as I would want it to be, and I was near to God, then I would still be supremely blessed. For me, this is the sunum bonum, to be near God. There is nothing greater in all of life than this. And this is what Asaph learned from his experience. See, this is exactly the blessing of the gospel, isn't it? What is the whole message of the Christian faith actually about? It is simply this, that those who were once far away from God have now been brought near in Jesus Christ. Paul states it in Ephesians, that Christ came into the world, he gave his life on the cross so that you could come near to God now and come near to him for eternity. You who were once far away, he says, have been brought near. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't come near to God simply by coming to church, by saying prayers, by being religious, by feeling better about yourself. How do you come near to God? Oh, Paul says it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're brought into a covenant relationship, sealed with his blood. That is the fulfillment of the covenant relationship that God had with Israel, and their supreme blessing was that they were brought near to God. That's what the sacrifices were all about, pointing to the shed blood of Jesus by which those who are far away are now brought near. How do you get near to God? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our peace. He came to preach peace to those of you who are far away, Paul says, as well as to those who are near. The sunum bonum, the highest good that you can know in this life, is to be near God. So why would you remain at a distance from God when Jesus Christ has come and shed his blood so that you could come near? What Asaph learned.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message today is called Commit, and it's the final one in our series, I Almost Gave Up, where we're taking a look at Psalm 73. And maybe you've gone through seasons where you just feel like giving up. You feel this just darkness and discouragement in your walk with Christ. We'd love to send you a book about that. It's called Spiritual Depression. It's written by Martin Lloyd-Jones, and it's a great book that takes a look at depression, not in the clinical sense, but in the way that so many believers do experience darkness and discouragement, that seems to come to all of us, at least at some point in our lives. Well, the author Martin Lloyd-Jones explores the causes of spiritual darkness and points us to the cure. We'd love to send you a copy of this book as you give a gift of any amount. Give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253. And again, our website is unlockingthebible.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
And here's the last thing. To tell. To write, to learn, to tell. I will tell of all your deeds. Verse 28. Now again, this really shows us how far Asaph has come. Remember back in verse 15 that the best thing Asaph could do for God's people was keep his thoughts to himself. He said, if I had spoken, I would have betrayed this generation. There was a point in my life where if you knew what I was really thinking, it would have been discouraging to everyone. So the best thing I could do for God's people was simply to keep my mouth shut. But now the grace of God has worked in his life in such a way that he has something to say, and he's able to open his mouth and share the story of what God has done for him. Every Christian has a story of God's grace. And the wonderful thing is that your story of God's grace is still being written. And every time you go through an Asaph experience of real discouragement, another chapter is added. And every chapter that is added becomes another part of the great story of testimony among God's people to how his grace brings us through every circumstance of life. It's really a wonderful thing to think about it. Psalm 73 describes the worst time in this man's life. And here we are 3,000 years later, feeding on the fruit of it, drawing encouragement from his testimony. See, what God gives to you will always be for the good of others. Your testimony to God's grace bringing you through discouragement will be a strength to the rest of the body of Christ. Paul puts this in an extraordinary way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, death is at work in us, life is at work in you. Here I'm going through this experience, Paul was saying, and it feels like death. And you know the result of that testimony of the apostles' perseverance was what? Life in the church. Every difficulty that you go through will be a means of blessing in some way through God's grace and mercy in the life of others. I will tell of all your deeds. Now, in these last moments, I want to make another application. And I want us to think about what this psalm would mean in the experience of Jesus. That's an important way, actually, to come to all of the scriptures, and especially the psalms. Remember, this was the prayer book that Jesus used. So what would it mean in the experience of Jesus? This is Asaph's story. In some particular ways, it will become your story and my story, but it is also Jesus' story. See, All of history is heading up to the day when Jesus Christ will tell his story. The greatest story ever told. The book of Hebrews describes a day, the day, when Jesus will stand in the presence of the Father with all of the company of his children who have been gathered in faith and brought into the presence of God, and Jesus will say this, "Here I am," he'll say to the Father, "and here are the children that you have given me." Can you picture that? It will be a glorious moment. Jude also speaks about that day. He says this, and it's wonderfully relevant to Psalm 73. He said, "Jesus Christ is able to keep you from falling." And more than that, he is able to present you faultless and with great joy in the presence of the Father. Now try and picture that day with me. Jesus stands before the Father. And all who are his people, through faith in his blood, are gathered there with him. We are overwhelmed with joy just to be there. And there's awe in our hearts as we hear his voice begin to speak. He tells his story. He tells of how he came into the world to seek and to save the lost. He tells of how he was despised and how he was rejected. And thinking of what it would mean for Jesus to take the themes of this psalm on his own lips and into his own experience, perhaps he would say something like this. My feet did slip. I stumbled under the weight of that cross. And when I fell, no one came to my aid. They had to press gang someone who was standing there just to help me. I could not go into the sanctuary. I was shut out from God's temple. They did not want me there. I was driven outside of the walls of God's holy city. And there I bore the sins of the world. In my own body I carried the guilt and the shame and the weight and the condemnation of every sin and every crime that is known to mankind. And when that happened, I looked up to heaven for comfort. And there was no light for me. I cried out in anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there was no answer to my cry. Yet, Father, I put my trust in you. Into your hands I commit my spirit, I said. On the third day you raised me from the dead. And ever since that day, I have been at work, drawing men and women to repentance and to faith, sustaining them in their journey, sending them out into the world in my name. And now, Father, here I am with the children you have given to me. You know, it's a great thing to know that Jesus is in your story. It is an even greater thing to know that you are in Jesus' story. Actually, that's your ultimate assurance. I want you to try and picture this in these last moments. Even though it is so difficult to imagine these things. He will present you to the Father. You are part of his story. He'll be standing with us, you see. Here am I and the children you have given me, Jesus is saying. John, I know you well enough to ask you to stand. And he comes alongside you. John, how long have you been a Christian?
About 30 years.
30 years. 30 years. Here's John. I drew him to faith 30 years ago. His feet almost slipped many times. But I held him by his right hand, and that's why he's here today. Imagine Jesus saying that of you. And I try and picture that. You know what I think I'd be saying, what John would be saying, and what you'd be saying? Jesus, I can hardly believe I'm here. I mean, I almost gave up. My feet had almost slipped. I was senseless. I was ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. But you held me by my right hand. You guided me with your counsel. You've now brought me into glory. Who have I in heaven but you? Oh, for me, it is good to be near God. I will tell of all your deeds. And in that moment, you will discover with greater clarity than at any other point in your entire life what Asaph learned here. I almost gave up. You almost gave up. And the reason you didn't give up on Jesus is that Jesus didn't give up on you.
What a great way to wrap up the series. The reason you didn't give up on Jesus is because he didn't give up on you. Our message today is entitled Commit, the final message in our series, I Almost Gave Up, really a look at Psalm 73, written by Asaph as he was walking through a spiritual crisis in his life. And if you or someone you know is going through a spiritual crisis, you may want to get a copy of this series for yourself. Just call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED or come to our website, unlockingthebible.org. You know, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. As you give a gift, do you help pay for things like production costs and airtime and all that it takes to bring you Unlocking the Bible each day? And for your gift this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book from Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's called Spiritual Depression. And how have you found this book helpful?
I can't tell you how many times this book really has been a gift from the Lord in my life, and particular chapters. I mean, when Lloyd-Jones opens up the question of Jesus, where is your faith? That has so helped me. You have to apply your faith to the particular circumstance that you're facing right now. And it's bracing, but somehow it's strengthening. He has a chapter on being weary in well-doing. I remember one time vividly feeling that I was in a dark place, no energy, tired in what I'd been doing, jaded and run down, and having a sense of, well, I'll just need to carry on out of a sense of duty. And what was so striking to me, reading Lloyd-Jones on that subject, was that he says, if you and I come to regard any aspect of this Christian life merely as a task or a duty, I say we are insulting God. And wow. I was confronted with the reality that if I cannot recover my joy in God, there is something that is very wrong in my own soul. And God met me right there. It was the help that I needed. So God has used this book time and again in my life, and I am absolutely certain that he will use it in your life and that it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you.
It is called Spiritual Depression, Our Gift to You, as you give a gift and support Unlocking the Bible this month. You can find out more or give online when you come to unlockingthebible.org. You can also call us at 1-866-865-6253. That might be easier to remember as 1-866-UNLOCKED. And one more time, our website is unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Imagine what it would be like to love God naturally and never have to work at it. Well, this was true of one man. Meet him next time on Unlocking the Bible.